We pray. Amen. So I'd love to ask you, by show of hands, do you prefer to serve or to be served? If you had to pick one. So I'll give you a moment to think. And honest hands, please. Okay, right. Could you put your hand up if you prefer people to serve you rather than to serve other people? I love the honesty, Shearer. Straight there. Boom. Fantastic. Anybody who prefers to be the server? This is very interesting in a church context. Secondary question. Is there anyone who feels quite uncomfortable about people serving them? Sometimes. Very, very interesting. I think this is often true for Christians, that we're kind of drilled, particularly if we've been in church from very small, we're drilled to serve. You know, this is foundational to our faith. And the downside of that is we can sometimes find it quite uncomfortable to receive service. And we're going to be exploring this a bit today. Serve one another is our focus for today. Service is front and central to the Christian faith. We worship the servant king, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who took on human flesh and lived amongst us. He served us throughout his life, and then most gloriously through his death and resurrection. The gospel speaks of a humble king going to extraordinary lengths to love and serve creation, that we might know intimacy with God always. Service is at the heart of the Christian faith. Service, humility, sacrifice, a willingness to love one another and to bear some of what that cost looks like. That's our pattern of discipleship. It seems really straightforward. Serve one another. Like I said, we're often drilled into it from a young age. We need to do things for one another. We need to be kind to one another. All of these sorts of things. But I think there are some myths that, particularly in Christian circles, can develop and grow. And I'm going to hopefully bust some of those for us today. Let's start by looking at our passage. What Jesus has to say about serving one another. Whenever I read, I don't know about you guys, when I read passages in the Bible that are about the Pharisees, I always feel a little bit smug initially. I'm like, oh, they were really bad, weren't they? And then I take a moment and I'm like, I see a little bit too much of myself in this. It's quite uncomfortable. Jesus' words here are stern and they're tricky. And we might start off in a smug place of, oh, they were really bad. And then we can very quickly start to realise how much we are like these people. I think there's lots for us to learn as we look at these religious leaders who, the overarching thing I get from this passage is they wanted to be seen to do the right thing rather than actually doing the right thing. If there was an opportunity to be seen, to receive the kind of the praise, and we can get this sometimes from serving, can't we? That you do something and people are like, oh, you're amazing. And we can feel a bit like, I am amazing, thank you, yeah. But then the heart of our service can slip quite easily into the glory that comes from it rather than the actual service. And I wonder if this is where they slipped. My hunch, and I might be wrong, is that the religious leaders were not people who started out their calling, their vocation, with this in mind. But it's something that happens as we praise people for their service and things like that. Our hearts and our motivations can turn little bit by little bit. I don't think they started out like this. And I think that's partly why Jesus calls it out in them. This isn't their DNA through and through. This is a challenge. How can we be people who really serve? So what did they do? Their role is to serve the people. But they were placing heavy burdens, and this particularly refers to the many laws and many rules, which were over and above what the Torah said. There was the Torah, and then they added a load of extra stuff to try and make sure people were doing exactly what they needed to do to follow God without any confusion. And you can see a really good heart in that, can't you? It's like we want to make things clear so that you can follow Jesus well, you can follow God well. We can slip into those habits, but In doing that, they were placing a burden on people they could not manage. This law was complicated. It was a huge burden if you tried to follow a faithful life. And it stands in such contrast to Jesus, who said, "Come to me, you who are weary and are heavy burdened." I wonder how many of these people needed to hear those words. "My burden is light, my yoke is easy." These leaders really enjoyed being seen, being respected, having seats of honour. And Jesus speaks as though they just missed the point. And it's almost like, if we follow on that passage, it's like they missed what they were trying to do. And as they followed God, they accidentally almost took the seat of God themselves. You see how Jesus says, "Don't call other people teacher. They love to be called rabbi. Don't do it. Call me rabbi." And it's really easy when we're discipling others, when we're leading others, when we're brothers and sisters in Christ, to enjoy those roles, which actually sometimes we want to be pointing people to Jesus, and sometimes we can accidentally get in the way. And we're like, "Here, I know what I'm doing." And we can get to a point of going, "Follow me as I follow Jesus," rather than, "Let's follow Jesus together." It's a really fine line, and we can really easily slip into it. Jesus says, "The greatest among you will be your servant. All who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted." I wonder how you feel when you hear those words. Whether you feel comfortable at the thought of being exalted, whether you feel uncomfortable at the thought of having to be a servant for that to happen. Some of the questions that leaped out at me from this passage. Do we lay burdens on people where Jesus would be lifting them, either for good reasons or less good reasons? Do we lay expectations on people that Jesus never would put on them? I know this is something that we've had to learn in our marriage, isn't it, Mitch? That this is a burden I used to come home and be like, "The house isn't clean and dinner isn't on." Mitch is like, "You didn't tell me to do that." And I'm then cross, and then there's this burden of expectation of, I don't know what I'm supposed to do to be this great husband, but I know it's something. What could it be? And there can be a panic and an anxiety that comes with that. I wonder if we do that to one another, that we lay expectations, sometimes spoken, that are too big, sometimes unspoken, that's really difficult and anxiety-inducing. Do we put burdens on people that Jesus says, "My burden is light"? Do we do it when we're trying to serve people? Do we try and serve people, but actually we end up adding things to them? One of the stumbling points for doing this in church life sometimes is we think, I really want to help people come to church. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to make sure that they have lots of jobs to do at church. Because if they have a job to do, then they'll come and I want to see them. And we can end up, the heart is great. I want to see you. I want you to be part of the family. But we can end up in a situation where the receiving end of that is, "I don't want another job. I'm so burdened. I don't want to come." And then don't come on the weeks when they haven't got a job because they need a break. Or they're worried a job will be thrown at them. The heart is good, but we can end up putting burdens on people when actually we were just trying to serve them. When we're serving one another, does it come out of humility? Do we enjoy being seen to be serving? Do we enjoy the respect that comes with it? Where's our heart? And that's a really complicated one because it'll be different in differing situations, but it's a really important question that we check in with. And there's one extreme shown in this passage here about serving others where it's kind of about, it's not really about them, it's about me. And what it looks, you know, if I do things on the surface that look like I'm serving people, then that's enough. I think there's another danger in church communities that we need to think about as well, which is the other extreme. If I'm going to serve to a point where I am on the brink of a breakdown, because that is what Jesus asks me to do, I'm going to make sure that I'm almost wrung out and exhausted, because if someone asks me to do it, I'm going to do it, I'm going to keep going. And again, that's not humility. We can have that coming out of a place of anxiety or insecurity. It might be anxiety. If I don't do it, no one will do it, and the church needs to stay the way it is, so I'll do all these things. And we get resentful, and we get frustrated, and we're annoyed that people aren't noticing what we're doing, and we're exhausted, and we're tired, and we're fed up. That's not humility. Humility is absolutely about having a... It's more about how you see yourself in relation to others rather than how you see yourself individually. Humility requires us to see ourselves as beloved children of God who love to serve other beloved children of God. It's not about saying, oh, I'm so rubbish. I have no value unless I'm busy and doing things. You all have a value regardless of what you're doing. You have a value because the Lord made you and the Lord loves you. You are valued and you are treasured. Humility is saying, I know that. I know what the Lord has given me. I know what I am capable of. And it is my joy to bless and serve the other people of God. This feels really important to talk about today, because today is harvest. And we are thinking about the God who serves us. At harvest, I think about the God who lavishes good things on us, the God of abundance. I was thinking about this morning, and I thought that's a really hard thing to say when I am conscious there'll be people in this church this morning, people joining us online, people in our community who are saying, where is the God of abundance in my life right now when I am struggling to afford my food? I am worried about my heating bills. We can doubt the God of abundance. We look around our world and I see a God of rich abundance who blesses people. We have got some work to do, not just us, but the people of the world, in making sure that is more equal and more fair. But we have a God who lavishes good gifts on us, physical gifts, food that you'll see scattered all around the church, flowers that you will see today, but spiritual gifts too. Each one of us is gifted and blessed by God. Not because God has a list of things for us to do, but because God loves you and delights in you. And we have a God who loves to give good gifts to his children. And it is out of the abundance that God gives, out of God's kindness, that we serve. We serve out of love for the servant king and the creation that he came to serve. And serving is more than physical and financial. These are often the spaces that we talk about serving. Serving is like, come and serve on this team who do these things, or come and serve by giving a load of money. Those are modes of serving. But your call does not depend on your finances. Your call to serve does not depend on your age. You are never too old or too young to serve. It doesn't depend on your ability. Each one of us is blessed by God and has something to bless others with in service. Every week through this series, we're starting with looking up, out, wherever your direction for God is, as we notice how God serves us. And I encourage you to spend some time this week remembering how God has served you. Trust me, this is a fantastic thing for us to do, particularly when we're in times of scarcity or in times of fear, where we look back and see how the God of abundance has served us. As we come to Holy Communion today, we remember and celebrate that God has done this through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. That God has sent the Holy Spirit, who is with us now and who delights to serve us. And pay attention to how God has served you personally. What gifts and blessings has God lavished on you? Are you aware of them? One of the dangers is we can sometimes think, and we talk about this sometimes in church in terms of calling, like calling is a thing that happens when you're like 20 and then that is it for the road ahead. That's your thing. God is more complicated and beautiful and nuanced than that. There are times in our lives where the thing we can do to serve is the physical, it's the moving tables, or it might be a particular role or job. What's God blessed you with right now? What is the gift that God has given you that you can serve others with today? And at the most simple level, if any of you are sitting there and thinking, I have no idea, let me guarantee that this, your presence is the most extraordinary gift that God has given that you can use to serve others. Just being with somebody else, listening, praying with them, bringing joy. It might be that you are somebody who is fantastic at just lighting up a room just by being there. You all have something to bring. What is it for now? What is the thing God has for you now that you can use to serve others? And there's some deep work in this. Do I know myself to be loved and valued by God? We're going to come back to this question every single week. Do I know it deep within my soul? Do I know that out of God's love for me, that he has lavished gifts on me that I can share in this world? How do I feel about serving others? And for some of us, that question this week might be, am I willing to let my guard down, be a bit more vulnerable, and let somebody serve me? That might be the challenge. It's a really difficult one for me. I find it really hard. But it's a gift. If we want to serve, people have to be willing to receive it. So maybe that's the deep work for this week for some of us. What's my motivation for serving? And that might be different for different areas of our lives. And then the living it out. How am I serving others? Am I lifting burdens? Am I adding them? I want to remind you that serving, we've talked a lot about the church, but serving is not just about what happens in these four walls or what happens within this community. Serving might be what you do in your family. It might be what you do in your jobs. It might be what you do with your neighbours. Remember, the one another's is ridiculously, extraordinarily big. How are you serving in your life? And serving doesn't just mean the things we see. It's the stuff we don't see as well. The listening, the praying, the being present. All of those things matter just as much. Actually, sometimes even more than some of the physical stuff. And the one bit of wisdom that I think is really profound that we see in the Gospels is that serving starts with listening. It baffles me that there are moments in the Gospels where Jesus is confronted with somebody with a very obvious issue. It might be a physical disability. It might be somebody who has a demon. There's something obvious. And the number of times Jesus says, "What would you like me to do for you?" And you think two things. Number one, it's obvious. Number two, you're the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You know all things. Why are you asking the question? Because it helps to articulate it. To listen and to hear. There's something freeing in saying, "I want you to do this for me." And there's a humility in accepting, "I love you, I want to serve you, but I don't know necessarily what's best for you, so I want to listen." So this week, as we think about serving, let's serve this servant king out of love for him and the creation he loves, and out of the abundance of his goodness and his blessing to us. Should we pray?